So it's no secret that local authorities across the country are facing huge financial pressures. Coventry City Council is no different, as it forecasts a £30 million budget shortfall. Coventry recently shared that without additional central government funding, it could effectively declare itself bankrupt and only deliver services it has to by law. A report has been released in December, which looks at the proposed local money saving options. And with me to talk through these proposals are Councillor Richard Brown, Cabinet Member for Finance, and Phil Helms, Senior Finance Officer at the Council. I think a good place to start is perhaps how we got here. I think it's obviously been a big news story and it's something that's going to affect the council going forward. But how did we get to this point?
The first thing I would like to say, just to be absolutely clear, is right at the start of this year, my message was that if nothing else changes, if things carry on the way they are, that is with social care demand, the challenges, the increasing pressures around that, and overlaid by inflation, if all those things carry on and our funding levels stay as they're supposed to be with a 3% deal in this month, then this time next year, the option of a Section 114 notice would be a lot closer and would loom a lot larger. So there's no way the Coventry City Council is going to go bankrupt or issue a 114 for this year. I'm not saying it will next year, but what I am saying is if nothing else changes, then that option of a Section 114 next year will loom a lot larger than it is now. And many other councils are in the same place. Mm. Why are we here? Number one is we've had 13 years of austerity. And by that, I think councils have been particularly targeted. We've seen ring fencing around other public sector areas, but with councils, they have been particularly targeted. So we had 13 years of austerity. We've suffered cuts to the tune of over £100 million taken away from us during that period. And we're not alone in that. So every other council is facing the same issues. And at the same time, we've got rising demand in social care. Now, the government said it was going to reform adult social care. It hasn't. And actually, there's no sign that it's going to do so. We've had rising pressures in the children's market, particularly around placements. There is a dysregulated market there. I heard of an instance last week where in one area of the company, I'll name it actually, it was Cambridgeshire, where for one child, for 1 week, the placement cost was £85,000. Now, that to me says that the children's placement market is absolutely broken. And once again, the government have done nothing about it. So all these pressures carry on. Added to that now, because of no-fault evictions, because of increases in rent and inflation, you've got a rise in homelessness. I saw a guy on the TV the other day. He was living in a tent and simply he said, my pension will not pay my rent. I've got nowhere else to go. So I'm out on the street. At least now I've got my pension and I can go down to the local centre and get a shower, get a wash and feed myself. But that's the state of how this country's got itself after 13 years. Mm. I'm going to say of conservative austerity. And it's a political choice that they've taken. And what's happening now is it's coming home to roost. And it's coming home to roost, and it's affected all councils across the country. Now, in addition to all that, Coventry has another challenge, and that challenge is it's been underfunded. So not only are we facing all those pressures that every other council is facing, but we've been systemically and structurally underfunded. That's not just me saying that. That's the IFS. That's the Institute for Fiscal Studies, issued a report in August of this year and highlighted Coventry as one authority significantly underfunded. What do I mean by that? If you bring Coventry's funding back up to the national average, I'm saying we need an extra £31 million a year. That's the scale of it. If we were funded based on our need, that figure would rise to £50 million. So not only is Coventry facing all the same challenges that every other authority is changing, but we're doing it almost with one hand tied behind our back because we've been underfunded. Mm. And that's probably been the case for quite a few other councils as well. Mm.
Well, that's exactly my next question was going to be about. So I saw the news when you first announced around this stuff in October, and it was off the back of Birmingham. Birmingham had been had announced shortly before that it was facing similar pressures. How are you keeping an eye on how other councillors are how other local authorities are facing the same pressures?
Oh, we watch the news daily for this. The Local Government Association has said there is a $4 billion funding gap over the next 2 years. That's not going away. And if you look at what the Chancellor said in his autumn statement, his message is basically, not my problem. Mm. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything about it. Mm. In actual fact, it's gone worse than that, because in real terms, he's looking at public spending cuts for local government. He's ring-fenced the NHS, he's ring-fenced defence, police. But so the one area that he can take money from is local government, and he looks like he's going to do exactly that. He's basically saying, it's not going to be my problem. Maybe he's thinking that I won't be in power for that much longer, so whoever comes in, they're going to have to deal with this.
Mm. I've got a question here. So do you think that Coventry City Council deserves more funding nationally? And I guess the word deserved is that it feels quite loaded, but that almost suggests that we kind of need it in a different kind of way. For me, does it need more funding? Does Coventry need more funding?
Absolutely, yes. If we got the funding that we should have got, and I'm talking about that 31 million, let's say we were funded at the national average, we would have another 30 million a year. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
We would be having a different one. Mm-hmm. But I can't see that changing. We've written to Michael Gove. We've contacted everybody. I've been through the Local Government Association. I said right at the start of this summer that I was not going to go quietly on this one. Yeah. And I still don't intend to go quietly on it. I want to continue to fight for every pound that I think Coventry should get. There's no reason why we should be underfunded by that amount.
Yeah, and I guess the underfunded bit's the key bit, because if you've got a budget, but actually you can manage in that budget, you could argue you don't need that money. However, what you're suggesting is without this funding, there's going to be cuts and there's going to be pressures in a way that we wouldn't have if we had the money that we need to deliver those services.
Absolutely. I think over the last 13 years, Coventry has faced the challenge. We haven't hid this away. We've taken, as Phil will allude to later, we've taken some tough choices. And that's something that Coventry should get some credit for. They're not always popular choices with people, with the taxpayers out there. But what people have to remember is that your council is just not about cracked pavements, potholes, and emptying the bins. There are over something like 600 different services that we offer here at the council. And a lot of those are to the vulnerable sector out there. And we want to try and protect that as much as we can. And we've always managed to do that so far. But we are really getting down to the bare bones of it now. But for example, I mean, some of the items that we are consulting on, and I'm probably jumping ahead of the agenda here, is around green waste or garden waste charging. But I think we're probably the only authority in the West Midlands region, or one of the very few, that doesn't do this already. Now, we've managed to stave off all that kind of stuff so far, but the cupboard is really getting bare now.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's really interesting, the fact that we're doing things that other people have had to do in the past. Why haven't we delivered those in the past?
Okay. Because we are a very prudent, we forecast on a very prudent way. We've been realistic. We've faced up to those challenges. We are a council that works with our officers. So it's not a case, and I can name some other councils, but I won't, where there is very little communication between council officers and the politicians. Sometimes the politicians are arguing amongst themselves. That's, well, we always have a debate here in Coventry, but generally speaking, there is agreement that we need to do something, and it's been done in a structured way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we've taken some tough choices in the past, which has enabled to get to where we are now. Relatively speaking, our balance sheet is in a pretty strong place. And why is that important? Well, last year we had a 6.7 million overspend in terms of the budget, and we were able to clear that from the reserves. So we had enough savings or money in the piggy bank to be able to cover that. Now, because of inflationary pressures, and I'm going to say it sparked off by Liz Truss and a $45 billion of unfunded tax cuts that spooked the markets, we had raging inflation. And that's caused us challenges again, as it has done every other council. And it's looking like our overspend in year, this year, will be between 11 and 12 million, probably around about the 11 and a half mark. Now, I don't see that going away by the end of this fiscal year, but once again, we will have to dip into the reserves pot to be able to cover it. Now, whilst I'm on that, the issue with that is if you have an overspend this year of in year, of 11.5 million, that doesn't go away for next year. So when you've got the budget for 24-25, you've got that 11.5 million, which is a structural deficit, if you like, which you've got to tackle. And that's what this budget consultation proposals are about, is trying to tackle that. And why Coventry has been able to do that, because we've never shied away from that challenge in the past. Mm. So we've had robust control of our finances. We've forecast in a prudent way. And that's how we've got to
it's probably worth adding, Richard, as well, that Coventry's got a good record of delivering its savings targets. Some of the authorities that are coming forward and suggesting they've got problems have not been able to deliver those. So they've used reserves. And what Coventry has not had to do until last year, for the first time in a long time, is had to dip into those reserves to fund overspends, sometimes driven by savings targets that have been set too high and too perhaps ambitiously in the past. But Coventry has not had to do that. We've got a good record.
Yeah, when you and I spoke, Councillor Brown, I think it would just be about 2 years ago, what was really interesting to me was how the council juggled services alongside private opportunities. And I think that was something that you were really proud of, the fact that we're able to kind of work in different streams. Has that helped as having other opportunities in the city? Has that helped contribute to the city getting to this stage at a later date?
Yes, it has. I mean, we do have an investment portfolio, but I think our long-term borrowings are around about the 300 million mark versus an asset base of 1.2, 1.3 billion. Now, you know, there are other authorities, and I think I should put it out there. It was Thurrock, I think, is one where they went on an investment spree. And an investment spree where they bought all sorts of things. Coventry's never done that. Where we invest is in things that are close to us, that we know, that we understand. And by that, I'm talking about sort of Coombe Abbey, Tom White Waste, which builds on the fact that we've got the Coventry and Warwickshire Solihull Waste Disposal Company, which we've had some years. We've got the materials recycling facility, which had just opened, which is a joint venture with our authorities. So there are very clear pathways for this. It's the right thing to do for the green agenda. It's stuff that we've got quite a bit of expertise in, as you know, as history shows. So we've been very careful and very prudent the way that we do invest. And I think overall those investments give us about a 6% return. Which we're comfortable with. But so and items like Coombe, I know the opposition like to target that, but Coombe is paying its way. It's had a difficult time because of the hospitality sector. Everybody in that sector has had a rough old time. But it is paying its interest. It's paying its rent. So money is flowing from Coombe into the council and not the other way.
Yeah.
There was an issue over valuations about it. Well, that happens all the time. Your house may be valued. I mean, the housing market has dipped. If suddenly your house is worth £10,000 less than it was a year ago, so what? Mm-hmm. Only matters if you're going to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So let's take a look ahead. As I mentioned, there's a proposed report or report that's coming out in December, which will propose some of these options of money saving going forward. Could you potentially talk me through some of those?
Before I do that, and the lead up to that, I just want to sort of give you a quote. There is a chap called Clive Betts, who's an MP, and he's the chair of the Levelling Up Housing and Communities Committee. And he's calling Michael Gove into that committee on next week on December the 6th. And he's been gathering evidence from lots of people around what's happening in local government. And I just want to share with you, Jonathan Carl West, the chief executive of the Local Government Information Unit, he told us that one chief executive said to me, it's not just that we don't have enough money, it's that we never know how much money we don't have. And that is encapsulates our problem. We don't know until Christmas what actual money that we will get. And there's an issue with that. We built into the budget £4 million worth of new homes bonus. But we don't know. We think we're going to get it. We built it in. So we're probably 90% sure. But until we get the Excel file, we're not sure whether we're going to get it or not. And that's the fundamental problem with local government finance. There is no ability for medium or long-term financial planning because we have this sticking plaster arrangement. And there's another one here, just Gary Fielding, who's the Section 151 officer at North Yorkshire Council, which I think, I believe, is Conservative-led, also told us that the funding landscape has become increasingly complex with the proliferation of specific ring-fence grants and competitive funding pots. He has 140 different funding sources. We're the same. So we're scrabbling around trying to compete for bids and for money all over the country. We never know whether we're going to get it. And that is the problem. It's increasingly difficult to have any measure of long-term financial planning. And I think what you're seeing is a lot of other authorities are struggling with that now. Now, Coventry's been very prudent in the past. Our balance sheet has been relatively strong. We've took the tough choices earlier on. So we're probably able to weather these rough seas better than most. But sorry, and I lost
it. No. I think it actually enhances what I was asking, because my thought was, so you mentioned before about some of the local authorities already charge for garden waste, et cetera, and we don't. The fact that we don't do that, does that give us an opportunity that the cuts that we have to make are less severe than what other authorities are facing, because we have almost that as a buffer of things that we can look to reduce?
I think that's absolutely right. If you look at some of the narrative that's coming out from other authorities, they've been relying on reserves for a lot longer in the past than what we have. And then there's a few cases where the reserves are almost expended, they've almost gone. And coming back to a point that we were talking about earlier, there's one county council, which, again, I won't name it, it's not right to do, but they were in the press as saying they have to make over 100 million cuts by February next year, else they will be issuing a Section 114. I don't know how you do that. I literally don't know. Their numbers may be bigger than ours, but the scale of that, as Phil was saying, it's... Everybody can put a line in a budget and say, we're going to make 25 million savings on this. But delivering that savings is a different kettle of fish. What Coventry's been very good at is that we've never had what are called framework budgets. We've steered well away from those. So what you see in this consultation is stuff that we know we can bring to the table.
Which I guess is a good time to bring up, because I'm conscious we're 20 minutes in and we haven't talked about those. Yeah. And actually, I think when people see the list of proposed money-saving options, they actually seem quite reasonable. So perhaps could we go through some of those? Could we have a look at what some of the proposed... I keep using cuts, and that feels uncomfortable to me, but I know that's the phrase that you're using, some of the cuts that you're looking to make locally.
Can I just come in? There's two elements to this, really. In terms of the overall budget gap, we've not just been idle. We've been working on this all through the summer. So officers have been taking some management actions to be able to control the in-year spending. So there's a whole bunch of stuff, again, from, I'm not saying we're hiring freezes, but there's a control on hiring everything. Any new post has to go through a specific panel. So we look at that. We've looked at, again, because we do it all the time, but exactly what we're spending to try to control the expenditure on a day-to-day basis. So that's been happening, but that doesn't get us to where we need to be. So there's still a bunch of savings that we need to make, and And that's where these are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're right. Coventry doesn't, and I don't want to charge for garden waste.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to do that. Most other authorities in the region have sort of taken that choice and already do. It's something that we may need to do. So it's out to consultation and we'll listen to what people say and then take a view afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you want to pick out on that?
No, I mean, as you say, we have got an underlying problem in excess of 20 million, but the management action that we are taking, be it staffing controls, be it discretionary spend, and anything else that we can do that we think will not affect services is being done. But unfortunately, we can't close the gap. So unfortunately, we are going to have to go out there to consult on some other cuts.
I'm conscious we've only said one, which is garden waste. Can we have any more examples of some of the things that we're looking at?
So one, if you want me, Richard, just to, and you can comment on them. We'll pick out some of the larger ones. So we're consulting on overnight switch off of streetlights. Mm-hmm. In an overall sort of scenario, or actually on a slightly scaled back, depending on whether you want to keep some certain areas switched up. So we're consulting on that one. I don't know.
And that would be like in the dead of the night, wouldn't it? So yeah, I guess that's where the research tells you they're not being used, I guess. Or
yeah, it's not all night from sort of 8 p.m. through to 8.
Yeah.
It's sort of midnight.
And
that could be, we could vary that. So weekends at, there's a variation to that, certain areas or hotspots, or depending on what people tell us, they like the lights left on for that particular area. So,
and that's where your consultation is really key, because you want to hear from people why those lights are important to keep on in that time in that area.
So there's also something in there around charging for increasing charges for car parking in the city centre, which is something that has only been done intermittently over the years. So we're consulting on whether what the public think would you know, how that might impact them, get their thoughts on that as well.
Yeah.
I've seen Godiva Festival mentioned, which I know that obviously over the last few years we've moved from Godiva Festival being something that's free, that is actually a minimal cost, I feel, even as a family of four. We've been to a festival elsewhere in the country, a lot more than what it was for Godiva Festival. Is Godiva Festival seen as like an opportunity to actually, you can increase charges but still remain competitive?
Well, there is a cost to that, to the council that we do now. There's no way we want to stop the Godiva. It's an institution. It's sort of brilliant. But what we're looking at in ways in perhaps we can increase the commercial aspect of that reduces the amount of money that the council has to put into it.
Okay. So something that I've seen online is people say that money's been spent on bicycle lanes or regeneration projects or the work in Spon End. How would you respond if people said, well, surely that money could have been used to fill the gap?
It's two different pots. And I mentioned earlier about the sort of 140 different funding sources. Coventry City Council has been very good in the past at accessing and bidding for money. We've got more electric vehicle charging points than anywhere else outside of London. That doesn't happen by chance. It's because money has become available in, I think it's 4 or 5 tranches. And we've bid for that. And we've managed to get the money and do the work. Similarly, in terms of things like the Binley Cycleway, money becomes available specifically for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've bid for it and we've been able to get that money. But you can't suddenly use that money to spend
ring-fenced,
fun day-to-day stuff. It's ring-fenced for cycleways. And I make no apology for that, because that's good for the green agenda and it drives it forward. And that's similar for Spon End as well, and the counter cycleways, and we're going to try and do more of that.
Yeah.
But let's be clear, I cannot use that money.
Yeah.
It's like you lending me some money to go out and buy a car and then find out I've got an ology with it.
Yeah.
It's, you wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Obviously, the public can have their opportunity to comment on this. How are you expecting residents to be able to comment and inform the decisions that are made?
Well, there is this, we're going through a strategy now of how we can engage best. I have to say, last year we had some public meetings around the city. We had very poor attendance to that, but hopefully there's a bit more interest this year. So we'll try and put up some venues in the centre, in the council house and around the city that sort of people can come along and have a go at me face to face, which I'm sure they will. And yeah, I fully welcome that. And there'll be lots of stuff which will be going on online as well. They can consult through this, the consultation process as well. I'm sure social media will play a big part.
Where you get your best type of feedback. The town hall type mechanisms are great, but actually the social media stuff, even if it's not the council's official channels, you can see what people are saying. I guess online could be a really key way.
It's a difficult one. It always is, because as sort of councillors, you're faced with this. Well, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this. Well, what else are you going to do then?
Yeah.
And I think, in fairness to Coventry, it's always faced up to its challenges. It's tried to control everything as best it can. But I'll go back to those points. We've got 13 years of austerity, and what the autumn statement said was austerity's back. Mm. With a vengeance, if it's ever gone away, but it is back with a vengeance. Allied to that, this fact that we've been significantly and structurally underfunded for a long, long time. Yeah. You imagine it's a similar thing. If somebody halves your salary, one of the first things is going to go, maybe is you've got to tell the kids that you're not going on holiday this year. That's what happens. Mm. But it's those difficult, tough choices that you have to make to see you through. You can use your savings, i.e. reserves, for so long, but once they're gone, they've gone. You can only spend reserves once. Mm. And sure, we'll have to use it for this year because there's that 11.5 million gap. But if we don't do something about it, we're going to have to use that 11.5 million next year. And so this consultation is around trying to do those things, make those changes, but protect the vulnerable as best we can, that allows us to close that gap so we don't have that problem next year.
Great stuff. Thank you both for your time. I know that this is a busy time for you both, and I know you've got a busy day ahead, so I'll let you go. But thank you for your time. I hope people find that as interesting as I did and can see that the measures the council are trying to take